This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Medina.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Views of Madni Channel. Welcome back to the journey of the heart to Medina. Alhamdulillah, where we discuss how to change the condition of the heart so that it is worthy of being presented in the court of the beloved. And today we've got another packed session for you. Before I go any further, let me start with a blessing of Durood-e Pak, of Salat upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine the day of judgment and people are drowning in their own sweat, they're in difficulties, they're worried about accountability. Those who are close to the awliya Allah, the likes of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, they will have some peace and tranquility knowing they're with the great Shaykh. Those who are with the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, wow, they'll have a smile on their face. Can you imagine the happiness, the peace, the tranquility, the safety and the sanctuary of those people who are close to Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this hadith in Mubarak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites Durood-e Pak upon me in this world the most will be the closest to me on the day of judgment. Recite Durood-e Pak in abundance and gain a position next to the best of creation on the most difficult of days. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me introduce you to my beloved guests. And we've got a change for you today. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We've got one of my favorite mubalighs today. I'll introduce you first to our Shahir Bhai. MashaAllah, he's one of our resident ones. He's been on our previous two programs and MashaAllah, we've listened to his very enlightening views. Shaheer Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Welcome to the heart's journey to Medina. And my second special guest for you today is none other than our beloved Bilal Bhai. Bilal Bhai, jazakallah for joining us.
Alhamdulillah. I've been looking forward to this particular program. It's just so beautiful, alhamdulillah. Talking about the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the beloved city of Medina Sharif, you know. It's a dua that we should all be making, that Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us death in Medina Sharif.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
In burial in Jannat al-Baqi, and mashallah, talking about, you know, the words are not enough.
They aren't. They aren't. This is one of those topics that is close to all of our hearts. And viewers of Medina Channel, you'll have seen our beloved Bilal Bhai on Rise and Shine and other programs we were together on during Ramzan on Let's Talk as well, yes. MashaAllah. So looking forward to their views on some of the things that we're going to discuss today. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to make a request in the court of Shaheer Bhai to enlighten us with a few couplets of a beautiful Naat-e Pak.
Nimate baat ta je samt wo zeeshan gaya Nimate baat ta je samt wo zeeshan gaya Saat hi munshi rahmat ka kalam daan gaya Nimate baatta Dil hai wo dil Jo teri yaad se maamoor raha Jo teri yaad se مامور رہا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا انہیں جانا انہیں مانانا رکھا غیر سے کام انہیں جانا انہیں مانانا رکھا غیر سے کام للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جانو دل ہو شوخی رد سب تو مدینے پہنچے جانو دل ہو شوخی رد سب تو مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چل تیرا رضا سارا تو سامان گیا تم نہیں چل تیرا رضا سارا تو سامان گیا
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam. And that last couplet, Shaibai, it kind of sums up our program as well, doesn't it? Ala Hazrat Views of Madni Channel was a devotee of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His love for Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amazing. And he showed that in every aspect of his life. And it came out in his poetry. So what Ala Hazrat says in that last couplet is that essentially, you know, Raza's heart has already reached Medina.
Allah.
And we can kind of see that because Ala Hazrat was such that his teachings from 100 years ago are cleansing our hearts. So can you imagine the condition of his heart?
Subhanallah.
So he says, you know, my heart is in Medina and, you know, everything else has gone, Raza, but you're still here. Why are you still here? Subhanallah. So that is one of my favorite kalams. It's a golden oldie as well. But what Al-Azad says is, you know, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they went, they put a smile on everybody's face and they distributed. Nemate bantata jis santa was ishan. Amazing, amazing kalam. You know, and it's one of those soft kalams. You know, when you're kind of in that mood where you just want to relax, put it on in the background with a good voice, yeah? And honestly, it's very relaxing. Beautiful kalam. Jazakallah khair.
And I also bring this back down to, obviously, where we are, Harun Bhai, that yes, we have had the opportunity to visit the blessed lands of Medina Sharif, and yes, we are truly there. And it kind of gives them gives us like a spark or ignite that let's make the intention again, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
And you know, if the time is right or the bulava is there, for example, inshallah, Zawajal, we will be able to travel to Medina Sharif.
You know, we were discussing that, and inshallah, we're going to discuss it in our main segment. But you know, what we were saying was there's a lot of people who go to Medina but not there.
No.
And there are a lot of people who are not in Medina. But they are there. And I'll tell you a little story, viewers on my channel, about that, where I met a person who honestly, he hadn't traveled to Medina, but I envied him because I knew that his heart was in Medina. But we'll have that in our next segment. So we've got three segments, the heart's journey to Medina, and then Muslim inventions. I've got some very interesting and intriguing inventions for you there. And then Dawat Islami and the youth, just a little bit about that as well, inshallah, azza wa jal. And then I'm going to leave you with a special act that you can do in the next week before our next program, that will help to speed up this heart's journey to Medina, inshallah. We're going to move to our first segment. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The journey of the heart to Medina, it's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, in the body is a piece of flesh, which if sound, the entire body is sound. And if corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Truly, it is the heart. And in this series, what we wanted to do was see how we can analyze the heart, see what the diseases are, see what the ailments are, try and look at ways of eradicating those, and then try and make our heart cleaner and better so that it's worthy at least of being presented in the court of the beloved. And who are we to do that? None of us have that power. But we're going to rely upon people like the great Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh and Ahya al-Ulum ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayh, and none other than our own Pir Murshid Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, and this great book, Sins of the Heart. So, from this book, you'll remember last week, there were 47 sins of the heart. And this was shocking, Bilal Bhai, because what it was, you know, everybody knows of hatred, enmity, yes, envy, pride, ostentation. Mm. And so I thought maybe if somebody asked me before I read this book, I would have thought maybe 10 diseases of the heart.
Yes.
47, Allah, and then what Amir al-Sunnah writes is this, this is just 47 that I've identified, the pious predecessors have identified more. So what I wanted to do, and what we started last week, was we had Obed Bey with us, is we thought we'd give the viewers of Madinah an overview,
yes,
of each one of these, and then we would go into the depth of them as well. Sure. I've got my bookmark, and what a beautiful bookmark it is as well, alhamdulillah. Somebody gave me this, it was a Nalane Park bookmark, so place that to one side here. So, last week you will remember, Shahid Bhai, the last thing we discussed was the definition of respecting people before because of their riches. And, you know, I gave the example of people coming in and, you know, the rich people person comes in, everybody stands up, the poor person comes in, even though he's pious, nobody gives him time of day. And then we looked at the opposite of that, where you belittle poor people based upon their wealth. So today, the first one, and there's a full bayan on this on the website, serving desires. So basically, you obey your desires and let them dictate your life rather than obey the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, in today's society especially, yes, I mean, this is a big problem. Do you share it, Bhai?
Definitely, Haroon Bhai. If you look at different fields, if you look at social media, people are in control of their desires. They're scrolling or looking at haram stuff. Although they know it's wrong, but they keep on doing it. So they eat, sort of eating the, what you call it, motivating the desire that I need to
feeding,
keep looking at.
Yeah.
They keep feeding the desire that I need to keep looking at this, keep looking at this. And there's no self-control, because of which then their heart becomes weaker and then they get used to it and then obviously nothing left.
I mean, there was a time, yes, where our pious predecessors, the normal Muslims as well, they knew that we'll get desires. The shaitan, yes, will give you waswasas, your nafs, your ego inside will say, I want this. But they knew these were the things you could do. These were the things you can't. Yes. Because it and they had a kind of a barrier between them. And they knew where to go.
Absolutely.
Today, every whisper that comes into my mind has to be fulfilled. Or else I'm not fulfilling my purpose of being here. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, with that, Harun Bhai, it's just one of those things that we have to think. So whenever we have a desire, for example, what happens nowadays? You know, we've got that desire in our head, mind, or we're typing it in. And obviously with our AI, artificial intelligence, what that does, it picks up on those particular things, characteristics, what you search. And it becomes more easy for you. So for example, you're going on the online, you're on your tablet, you're on your mobile phone, and you're seeing that constantly. So that's your desire. That's obviously what you want to see. But when you look at the pious predecessors, they had that religious guidance. They had like a checklist that for me as a Muslim, yes, I've got this desire, but is it allowed in Islam?
Yes.
Is it something that I need to control, I need to say no to? Because I mean, nowadays what happens, we jump at the opportunity. We see, yes, wow, this is wow, it's so intriguing. But we need to question ourselves from an Islamic perspective. Is this lawful, unlawful? Am I supposed to be looking at this? Okay, sometimes what happens? If we do come across certain things that we may have a glance at. Yeah. And that's it. We need to stop ourselves. And mashallah, recently I heard a Mubalik deliver a powerful statement, a powerful bayan, a lesson for everybody that if it's a harmful desire, behind that harmful desire lies hellfire. So for example, if you execute that desire, behind it will be hellfire. And then, having that thought that whenever I do something wrong, I'm ultimately putting myself into the hellfire.
But I mean, what Shaheed Bhai, you identified was the short term, like, food, and we look at scrolling, things yes. like that. But this goes much deeper than that, because people's entire lives are premised, and their life goals
yes.
are their desires. For example, you've got people who all their life work to reach a certain position. Somebody wants to become, prominent, a counselor or an MP, and their entire life is dedicated to that because they want to. Somebody wants a big car. And I've had people, honestly, who have bought a fancy car
yes.
and then said, this was my life's ambition.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, wow, is that it? You just wanted this expensive car? Or, buying this mansion or this house was, I've been working for it for years.
Yes.
And you think, how misconceived are your goals in life?
Awliya, they used to avoid halal things just to kill their nafs. And Ghaliban, I think it was Ghousi Azam, that he used to go into the jungle just to kill his nafs, and they used to eat leaves. Why? Just to kill their nafs. But
it's, you can't blame people, Harun Bhai, nowadays. Because what happens, you're growing up, you always get embedded in you. You have to become a successful person. You have to become a doctor. That's something that we get brought up on. Regardless, nowadays society, that's something that they are taught from the get-go, that you need to be successful, you need to have a house, you need to have money, you have this, that, the other. Or they have an aspiration within their family, they've seen somebody that's achieved their goals. So they think that's my true ambition. But no, as well as that, you've got an Islamic duty. What are your Islamic duties? You have to complete the Salah, you have to read Salah on a daily basis. You have to read the Holy Quran, you have to be a practicing Muslim. So that's what happens. We don't have a balance. We just go with one ambition, and we think that this is my goal. Ultimately, that's not your goal. To achieve the goal, like obviously we want to be blessed with the vision of the Holy Rasul, or we want to be close to the best of creation, we can't just think, I'm going to have a Ferrari or a Lamborghini to my name, I'm going to get that. No, there's more things that we have to do.
Is it priorities in life though, isn't
yes.
it? I mean, we're dwelling on it too much because I wanted to get through a few, it's priority. So there's no harm in wanting to become an engineer,
no.
doctor, or barrister.
No.
The problem is that shouldn't be your priority in life. Your priority should be obedience in the court of Allah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to quickly move on because each one of these we're going to come back to in detail and discuss them. Now, the next one was passiveness, and it literally means leniency, to refrain from preventing a sin and forbidden action despite being able to do so, display weakness, spiritual weakness, religious matters. So basically, there are two elements to this, as I see it. One is, if I'm doing wrong, you can tell me as, my brother, look, you need to pray Salah.
Yes.
But you won't bother. It's his own life.
It's not my problem.
It's not my problem. There's that attitude.
Yes.
And today, if I'm doing something, worldly or religious, you will want your two pence worth.
Yes.
But when I'm doing something wrong, suddenly the shaitan... how many times have we done madani work and you got people interfering left, right and centre,
yes.
yeah? You go to our masajids throughout the country, throughout the world, yeah? And you've got like the people in the masajid trying to do madani work, and you've got everybody coming and questioning
yes.
everything they do, yeah? Even a nail in the wall, yeah? And yet when it comes to somebody doing wrong, somebody's taking wrong, you try to... Leave him to it, man. It's not your problem.
Harun, especially, I think I've noticed that this happens more in backbiting. Because people, it's in groups, they're backbiting about other people, and you're just sat there listening to what they're saying, and you're not saying anything. And I believe there's a blessed narration as well, where there's three things you should do when someone is doing bad. Either you stop them with your hand, if you can, or then the second step is you stop them with your tongue. If you can't even do that, then at least have that thing as bad in your heart. That's the least amount of faith. So the last thing, obviously, mentioned about the heart as well. Why? Because at least you have that thing in your heart that, okay, what he's doing is bad. But if even that's gone, then obviously...
I mean, there are situations where you cannot always speak out. I accept that. But a lot of the situations we encounter in everyday life, you can say to your brother, come on, namaz time, let's go to the masjid.
There's no harm in trying, right? The worst
possible
answer that you're going to get is a no. But we've done our bit. So from our perspective, it should be, yes, okay, this is something that I see and I've got the opportunity. Because that might be that particular point where that person thinks, hang on a minute, this person's given me this and I might listen. So the worst thing is you're going to get a no. But that's no harm done. You've done your bit.
Especially us being in the Madani environment and we are obviously Islamic clothing. When we tell people, they usually listen. It's not that they will say, no, who are you to tell me? Because we have that respect of us.
But the problem I have with the people who kind of think, well, it's not my problem, is that at the same time, we're claiming to be devotees of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, if you read the blessed Sira Mubarakah,
yes.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite towards good, and nauzubillah, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have consequences, even was stoned.
Yes.
And yet, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop. And yet, you shy away from inviting to good just because you think people might think different of me. So that's a disease of the heart. The next one that Amir al-Sunnat identifies, oh Allahu Akbar, ingratitude. So this is being ungrateful for the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, neglecting them. I mean, this is one of mine. I did a full series on this, actually. Blessings in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, being grateful. Because we have, Bilal Bhai, every blessing under the sun. Right?
Absolutely.
And you have been given 999 blessings. And Allah Azza wa Jal, through His infinite wisdom, has decided to withhold something to test you.
Yes.
Yeah? And yet you forget the 999 and you start crying about the one you haven't got.
Allah, Allah. And it's just it's so true nowadays that we, regardless of what we have, we don't say Alhamdulillah. You know, we're always if we got everything good in life, yes. But as soon as anything goes wrong, you know, we become so ungrateful. And Alhamdulillah, you know, we've got eyes, we've got hands, we've got legs, and we still are ungrateful.
You know, there's, inshallah, we'll go into this in more detail, but we always look towards, you know, in our town, you look towards the person with the best job, the fanciest car, and mansion, and you think, oh, well, you know, what have I got? And yet, if you look the other way, there might be one person with a mansion and a Ferrari and a good job, and there might be 10,000 who are below you in terms of the blessings they've got. And yet, if you look this way, you'll thank Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Yes.
But if you look up, and this is one of the problems. Okay, the next one that Amir al-Sunnah Barakat Mulaliyah gives us is greed.
Allahu Akbar.
Greed, and this is another disease of the heart. Greed is an excessive desire, a despicable desire, greed to get everything, despite owning your share. So I'm comfortable. I've got good income. I've got everything. But I want more. Mimmal mazid, don't they say something like that, the Arabic kind of phrase for it. And I just want more and more. And I'm never satisfied.
No.
You know, if I have one house, I want two. If I've got two, I want three. If I've got a nice car, I want a better car. If I've got, you know, a status, I want to go. And it's this constant, what we call the rat race of, you know, constantly going.
When you get wrapped in greed, I think the worst scenario is that you forget what is haram, what is halal.
Allah.
You just want to
very important. Yeah.
You want to, you know, reach that target, regardless of where it comes from.
And this next bit, Shaybay, Amir al-Sunnat writes that greed can also be defined as being discontent with what Allah has given you. Because when you're greedy, you're not satisfied at your life. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful way of looking at it. Allah. That, you know, you're actually being, when you're being greedy, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you something, you want more, and you know, Allah Ta'ala has written what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
And you're kind of going beyond that, and you're kind of, nauzubillah, challenging or complaining about the proportion, the, you know, allocation that you've had. But inshallah, that's another disease. So we've covered four, serving desires, passiveness, laziness in inviting others, ingratitude, greed. The next one is the opposite.
Allah.
Stinginess, So bukhl literally means miserliness, and which is to avoid spending or money or assets in a situation where it is religiously, socially or courteously necessary to spend. Now, Islam is beautiful because Islam says that you shouldn't be extravagant, but where you should spend money, you should do it. Now, you get so many people these days, and this is another disease of the heart, is that they'll spend on all sorts of worldly things.
Yes.
When it comes to religious things, even when it comes to things that their own families need, they are so tight with their money that they make everybody suffer.
It is, you know, it's evident. You know, it reminds me like a conversation that I had. You know, mashallah, on a yearly basis, Dawat Islami, we collect units for all of the Dini Kam of Dawat Islami. I think last year was running about 70-odd pounds. And I had a conversation with a brother, and he was quite reluctant to give it. But I questioned him that, you know, when was the last time you went out? Or you did like a takeout, no? And how much did you spend? And I remember he returned and said, oh yeah, it was about £111. I said, for food, which for a few hours, maybe you enjoyed it. After that, it just becomes normal. You don't think about that, but giving in the way of Allah Almighty, you know, you're thinking
Allah
about it. So it is something that, you know, it is reality when it sinks in. But it's just obviously we have to provide that education to people.
So this stinginess is a disease. It's not a mental calculation.
No.
It's a disease of the heart.
Absolutely.
And the heart makes you think, well, if I give in the way of Allah, or I spend on my family, because spending on your family
is... Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can do it in the right ways.
Yeah.
But the benefits of you giving in the way of Allah Almighty, you know, you're going to have a beautiful palace in paradise.
What really vexes me out, and you know, I'm sorry to say this, is that, you know, on the 31st of January, you have tax in... And everybody's running around for a month and a half before accountants, you know, receipts, everything else. And then tax, you know, 25, 30, 40%, whatever it is for different people, yeah? And then they calculate it and then they make that massive payment on the 31st. And then there's a payment on account in July and they'll have the money ready and everything else, yeah? And they don't hesitate for a moment because they have to pay it. And, you know, and when it's giving in the way of Allah, it's only 2.5%. It's not 40% or anything. And for some reason they delay. Then they pretend in their mind. And I really get, perhaps I point it out to people. You know, say, I don't know how to calculate. So I says, you know how to fill in all the benefit forms. Yeah. You know how to make sure all your tax calculations are up to date. You know how to run a business. But yet, you don't have to do everything in life. But the only thing you can't do is, you know, a month before your zakat is due, sit down and for an hour or two and calculate your zakat and where you need guidance, gain the guidance of the scholars and, you know, read up on it. And all your life you've spent, because it's the right of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, the right of the people, yeah, you've delayed it.
I mean, we don't think it's important. We think that HMRC questioning us is going to be important. But when Allah, Azza wa Jalla, questions
Allah,
us...
Allah, Allah,
Allah. Allah, Allah.
So... Right, the next one we've got is Tule Amal, long expectations.
Allah.
This one, we have these long kind of goals, hopes and everything else. I don't know if I remember, I mentioned it last week, Shaheed Bhai, but 2 weeks ago, something happened that you honestly shook me to this day.
Mm.
And I don't know if I mentioned it, but I've been dealing with like tadfeen and people passing away for a long time. And honestly, there was a friend of my younger brother's and a very nice lad and perfectly fine, 44 years old. It was just about these holidays that happened, school holidays. Yeah. He's got children and he was planning things and everything else. Went to sleep, woke up in the morning about 3-4 o'clock, had chest pains.
Allah.
And he, but you gave me, said, you know, should we call an ambulance or should we go to hospital? He said, I'm fine. It's probably some gases. I've had some takeaway. The beauty was he did wuzu, he prayed tahajjud, was waiting for fajr. He had a heart attack and then got to hospital, but he passed away. And that night, this was 5-6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, we read his janazah in Bolton, and 7:30, we were lowering him into his grave. Within 15 hours. And it brings me back to this. We have these long expectations. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. This is, I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to get this worldly benefit, that worldly benefit.
I don't know, but you know, Shaitan has put this trap in our minds that we will live forever for X
amount
of years. When you go to people, invite them towards righteousness, they said, oh, I'll do when I grow older. But what guarantee do they have that they live even another day? There's literally no guarantee. But Shaitan has put this trap in our
heads. It is. It is 100% right.
This is very, I think, important for the viewers that you've just given that example. Just imagine that person, what expectations he was thinking, what he was planning. And now hearing that within 15 hours, he passed away and he was lowered into his grave. So this should be an alarm, a wake-up call for viewers as well, that, you know, time is not something that we can control.
See, in the society we live in, death is a taboo subject.
Yes.
But it isn't in Islam. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to remember death.
Absolutely.
And think about the grave. You know, and to think about it, if I was, you know, it's 9 o'clock,
yes,
quarter to 10 now, yeah? If I was to pass away in the next hour, they'd probably get the release tomorrow.
Yes.
And tomorrow afternoon, late afternoon, janazah, and by maximum 6, 7 o'clock, you'd be burying me tomorrow.
You'd be burying me, yes.
And that's the end, finish.
Yes.
So, you know, this character, you think, I control, dunya mere baghair chali nahi sakti, I control, it's gone, it's finished. And you only take to that grave, and that was the Bayan this week as well, from Madinah Merkaz for
the
Easter
month. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what have you prepared for that dark and lonely grave?
And Harun, I remember in Ishtima Mubalik, he mentioned a quote, "Main ahem tha, ye mera wahem tha."
Allah.
This is our, we think that we, without us, nothing will keep running. Well, the world will finish if we go. This is just our wahem that this will happen.
We just keep ourselves happy.
I mean, how many, just as an example before we move on, how many, you know, leaders, politicians, prime ministers, you know, people like that have passed away?
Yes.
And yet everything's just carried on. Yeah, 2-3 days, people will get upset. After that, everybody gets on with the normal thing.
Yeah, no,
and after a week, you know, you're a memory. And after a month, and I see day in, day out, and you'll see this as well,
yes,
that when parents pass away, they think our children love us. Salih, once a year, they do the khatam and that's it. They think that's my duty done.
Exactly.
Call all the bradri, yeah, and do the khatam and that's my duty to my parents done. So we're going to come back to Tuli Amal as well. Long expectations. Negative assumptions is the next one. To make a firm, baseless, without evidence, negative judgment about another individual. Now, I would say that, Bilalbi, this is a big problem in our society. I will take one look at, you know,
yes,
Shaheer Bhai, and I'm like, oh, he's like this and this and this. And the shaitan deliberately puts those things, and it's for me to actually stop him and say, why would you do that? Why do you think negative about him? I mean, mashallah, young man,
yes,
Dari Sharif, doing the work of deen.
Absolutely.
Why should I think? But nobody stops if the shaitan puts something in. And these days, you know, it's that old shave that I slightly distort, where Bulle Shah Usmani Uddaya Parda is the word, but I say Parda. Jara kar baitha unnu padhya hi nahi, yeah? And the way I interpret that is this, that I've got assumptions about you,
yes,
him, everybody, you know, I've got assumptions. The one I should be concentrating on is sat right here.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't be analyzing you guys.
No.
I should be analyzing me to see what the faults in me are,
yes,
and the faults in my heart, which brings us back to the whole point of this program, that it's your heart.
Absolutely.
I'm not responsible for what is in your heart. I'm responsible for what is in my heart. And the example I often give, and I haven't got my tasbih with me, is, you know, I say to people, when you have the tasbih or the counter on your finger, a lot of people worry that people might think he's trying to act pious.
Yes.
And what I say to them is, look, ostentation, showing off,
fair enough,
it's what is in your heart, not
absolutely
in the heart of others.
Because I mean, that's what happens. You know, when you're having negative assumptions, that's weaknesses in you. So in essence, what I see in some of the people, like you mentioned, if I did my own assessment, I would find that negativity in me.
Yeah. Then I'm going to move on to the next one. We've only got a couple of minutes left on this segment. Rejecting the truth.
Hello.
So stubbornly opposing a religious fact despite believing it to be true. Now, this is actually important because in the Madani Muzakarat, you'll remember that there was that little sketch. Two brothers were saying, you know, you can't get away with lying, not lying when you're doing business. You remember that, yeah?
Mm.
And it was making me think that kind of brings us to that, because
yes,
the truth is Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, as very beautifully and eloquently explained by Amir al-Sunnah, that, you know, the truth is the truth.
Yes.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, be with the truthful, whereas falsehood, Allah Ta'ala has, you know, said, lanatullahi, you know, curse of Allah be upon those.
Mm.
And yet, despite knowing that, you still get people who will not accept or reject the truth. And that's another one we're going to be looking at, inshallah. Definition of persistence in falsehood. And again, it's the same thing, knowing you're on the wrong track,
yes,
but still kind of persisting with it. And a lot of us know, you know, and the sad irony is, that, you know, when you talk to brothers, I mean, you brothers do it as well, they know that if they don't pray Salah, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
And they always say, I'm going to start. But sometimes you persist in that falsehood and then you never get a chance. I remember many, many years ago, there was a friend of mine from school. Very early days, we were friends from school age, yeah? And then as you grow older, you lose contact and everything else. And then we met up again and I realized that, you know, he was working and everything else, but Dean wasn't. So I was kind of going, seeing him regularly in the Mars and trying to get him into the Mars and everything else. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Harun bhai, jazakallah." And he used to smile at me and he said, I'm so grateful. You've taken time out, yeah. You're a busy man and everything else. You come down to see me. Inshallah, soon I'm going to start my namaz. Yeah. And soon I'm going to do this and soon I'm going to do that and everything else. And I'm going to come on a kafila with you and honestly, soon, very soon. And he went to Pakistan. And I remember I went to see him maybe a few weeks before. And he goes, "You know, Harun bhai, I'm going to Pakistan and everything else. And, you know, inshallah, I'll be back soon. And definitely, you know, we'll get together." And he passed away while he was in Pakistan.
Allahu Akbar.
And honestly, it shocked me. And that was, you know, it was a really sweet brother. But the shaitan had deceived him into thinking that I will do my namaz, I will fulfill my religious duties.
Yes. Delay.
When, you know, I'm ready. And the scholars say that's a dangerous thing. Because yes. What you're saying, in essence, if you think about it, is, "Ya Allah, you have commanded me to pray, but nauzubillah, I haven't got time for you at the moment.
I haven't got time.
But in the future, I'll try and make time."
Allah, Allah.
How bad is it when you put it into that context?
Allahu Akbar. And we don't think of it to that extent, Harun bhai. And it's just one of those things. We have to see what the consequences are. And unknowingly, we do these things we say, and we never think about it.
Mm. Last one we're going to do for today. Deception. I mean, the Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He who deceives is not from us."
Yes.
And the Muslims throughout the lands were known for their honesty.
Allah, Allah.
And the golden era of Islam, you could leave things outside.
Mm.
And the concept of a Muslim, I mean, it was the exact opposite. I remember there was a waqia of, I think, shops in Baghdad where, one trader would say to a customer, "Go to my brother over there, buy the same cloth from him." And the trader goes, buys the cloth. And then he comes back and says, "You had the same cloth. You had it at the same price. Why did you send me there?" And he would say, "Well, because, I was seeing that I had lots of customers in the morning."
Yes.
He hadn't had anybody.
Allah,
he's got
Allah.
To feed his kids as well. And yet today, it's like, don't go to him.
Mm.
His mal is do number.
Allah.
He's gonna deceive. And we've got to a stage where
yes.
deception...
So much.
Is part of our life. And now that the new phenomena, I mean, it's old, but it's kind of reviving, is to, and it was funny, I was watching this and I thought, this is interesting. It's speaking the truth with the intent of deceiving somebody. So it's like, you know, so people will say what is truthful, but they only give you half of the information. So you get the wrong impression and you think the truth is something else. So if, for example, you know, if I said, that there was, I get here late, yeah? And I say, there was traffic on the motorway.
Yes.
There were cars on the motorway.
Mm.
Now, what are you, if I say that, what will you think? You think I'm delayed because of traffic.
Yeah.
I haven't actually said I'm delayed because of traffic. I was delayed, for example, because I left home late.
Yes.
Because I was, you know, chilling out.
Were you blaming it on traffic?
Well, I'm blaming it on traffic. We're not directly saying I was delayed because of traffic. I'm just saying that traffic these days is horrendous. Yeah, and this is what it was all about. He was saying deception through truth. And I thought, Allahu Akbar, look at the stages we've reached.
Harun, I remember there was a clip that came up a few days ago of Rukun Shura, where he mentioned a beautiful story that there was a taxi driver who was, obviously the taxi driver was a Muslim and he was taking non-Muslim on a ride. And I think he forgot to reset his meter for obviously how many miles they did. And once they arrived to a location, so he realized what had happened. So he told them that, "Oh, you guys need to pay me this much, not that much." And the guys were shocked. They said, "You're not Muslim. You can't be Muslim. How is it possible? You can't be a Muslim. Muslims, they lie."
Allah.
So Allah, that clip was very shocking when I looked at it. Like,
yeah,
this is the image non-Muslims have of us because of
Allah,
how deceptive we have become.
And it all comes back to diseases of the heart. The real... Seeming, looking at this, and we're only up to number 20. We've got another 27 to go, which inshallah we'll try and cover in the next program, just to give you a summary of them, and then we'll go into detail. But viewers of Madni Channel, these are all the things we need to fight to build that clean heart. And it is these diseases that are corrupting our society, our Muslim ummah, and they are giving us a reputation like Shaheed Bhai said, where we're known to be deceivers, we're known to be liars, you know, we're known to do the wrong things. Whereas if you look at history, that didn't happen for 1300 years. We were known for our honesty and our sincerity and our truthfulness. We're going to have to move on to our next segment. Inshallah, we'll continue from here next week. Muslim inventions. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
So in this section, viewers of Madni Channel, what we do is we look at Muslim inventions, because a lot of our youth and youngsters don't appreciate that the reality of the world is that a lot of things that you see around you have been actually invented by Muslim scholars. And I mentioned in my first program and last week as well, things like chemistry, physics, maths, algorithms, these phones, these computers, all of this, the base foundation work that was done, the calculations that were done by Muslim scholars. Now, last week we mentioned Bilal Bhai clocks invented by Muslims. Then we looked at Taharat, because traditionally civilizations didn't clean themselves. Yes. Even up until the 17th, 18th century, you know, even those in power, like princes and kings, used to take a bath every year or every year. Yes. And like in Islam, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us so many beautiful sunnah mubarakas that the Muslims were, you know, pure and clean and smelling fragrant. Today, I've got another one for you. The most consumed beverage in the world. Allah. What do you think?
Coffee.
Coffee beans. Coffee, I think we've got a photo. Is the most consumed beverage, or one of the most consumed beverages in the world. Do you know who invented coffee? Who invented coffee?
Muslim.
It was the Muslims.
Subhanallah.
Muslims invented coffee. It stimulates you, it helps clear your liver, it's got so many benefits. I mean, obviously, if you over OD it, but it's got health benefits and it helps with work. Muslim scholars working, having their cup of coffees, and it's caught on so much that it's now a standard beverage in every single corner of the earth. And yet it was invented by Muslims.
Subhanallah.
The next one is even more amazing. Let's have the picture and then we will talk about it.
Subhanallah.
Keep the viewers in suspense.
Subhanallah.
Let's have my next picture for my next Muslim invention.
Was it a camcorder?
It was a camera. So basically, it was the Muslim scholar. There you go. This is a modern camera, but it was the base work for that was done by Muslim scholars. They took the eye. They studied the eye in detail. They looked at lenses. Then they looked at creating images. And they used pinhole cameras, projected what was in front onto a screen, and realized that if you use a lens, you can project whatever image you have, you know, onto a background. And then from there in on, they worked on trying to capture that image on the background. And it was Muslims who invented glasses.
Wow.
Who did the basic foundational research in optometry and gave the world the calculations, the structure of the eye and the breakdown, how the retina works, how the cornea works, how the iris works, and then went on to develop cameras. I mean, this is 1,000 years ago. What happens, unfortunately, is because we as Muslims don't know about this, what happens is some guy comes along and they attribute it to him, saying, oh, the camera was invented by so-and-so. It's not the reality. It's actually a lie. And the truth is, if you look at the books of history, it was the Muslim scholars in places like Baghdad and Andalus who did the basic research and did the basic practical experiments that form the base of your modern day cameras. How amazing is that? We're going to quickly move to our next segment, Dawat-e-Islami and the youth. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi.
The journey of the heart to Medina. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
Alhamdulillah, I've come to Bradford and we saw a lot of beautiful young faces.
Yes.
Imam Ash-Sharif, everybody sat there, there were people upstairs. The car park was packed. I had to find parking up there. Bilal Bhai, Shaheed Bhai, tell me what's happening Because a lot of youngsters.
So alhamdulillah, we've got a 3-day Kafilat Rabiti session within the Yorkshire region. And mashallah, we've got it in Bradford here. So we've got two aspects. Obviously, we're trying to cater for both sets of ages. So we've got the not so youth like me.
Oh,
so
come on, you're still young, man.
We've got obviously training sessions for them. Because at the end of the day, what happens? You know, we talk about that with Islam. We talk about how to better ourselves. And we need to provide training. We need to provide that back to basics, how to obviously work in deen and get closer to Allah Almighty. And spending 3 days in the house of Allah Almighty is a blessing itself. Now, yes, that's something that we should be doing, but we need to incorporate the youth as well. So alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, we've got a youth retreat as well happening here at the same time.
I was really happy.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, so many young faces, mashallah.
Yeah, so I think we've planted the seed and now we're seeing the flowers grow, mashallah.
No, I was very impressed.
We are going to continue, inshallah. And mashallah, well done to Shaheed Bhai and Zahid Bhai, mashallah. They're doing a very fantastic job, alhamdulillah. In terms of
well, Zahid Bhai was supposed to be joining us.
Yes, but he's busy with the youth today.
Well, talking about priorities, honestly, I respect that.
Yes.
Because, I mean, this is only the third program.
Yes.
But he has sacrificed his seat here to make sure that he could, and he's been with them, he'll be with them all weekend,
absolutely.
But to make sure that he could spend that extra hour with the youngsters who've come to this retreat, very impressive from his part.
Yes.
And mashallah, a great job that Dawat Islam is doing with the youth.
And alhamdulillah, Harun bhai, we've done, I've got a lot of activities for youth. As you know, before we didn't have much going on.
Mm.
So alhamdulillah, we started doing these youth retreats, which obviously, if you look at it, it's like a kafla, but it's more relaxed. It's more for youth. Obviously, we have better food, you can say, dedicated with the youngsters.
More takeaways. Look, there's wisdom in that.
Yes.
And what you've got to remember, what impressed me, I'll be honest with you, is that 99.9, probably 100%. They're all youngsters born and bred in the UK.
Yes.
They're all between, say, 16 and 22.
Yes.
And usually you see that age group on a Saturday night out on the streets.
Mm.
You know, if you walk into Bradford and Leeds, you will see those sorts of youngsters, you know, getting ready for a night out.
Mm.
And alhamdulillah, it's clear that you brothers have put in the effort because we've got, I must have seen 25, 30 of the brothers, all youngsters. And you can go, I had to quickly pray my Maghrib when I got here and then come into the studio. But I was like, oh, brilliant, this is beautiful.
And Harun bhai, you know, at the start when we started it, we got obviously a lot of backlash from some people that why are you doing this? It's worthless, no point. Then alhamdulillah, we did different projects. We did the youth retreats. Obviously, we had activities as well for the youngsters. And then we did summer camps as well in summer. Alhamdulillah, in there we had the 60 youngsters and we completed bookings in literally one day. We ran out of bookings. That's how interested the youngsters were. And alhamdulillah, after this, we noticed that the youngsters, they started to get connected to Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, now the same youngsters, some of them are becoming leaders. Some
Muballik.
Of them are doing dars. Some of them are doing muballik. So alhamdulillah, it's working. It's
You've got to invite to the deen with hikmat and wisdom. And this is one of the ways. Alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islam is working throughout the UK, throughout Europe. Rukne Shura, Khalid Bhai and Abdul Habib Bhai working there, inviting youngsters and elders to the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. And your Dawat Islami is trying to kind of save those next generations. We see so many of them going on the wrong path. And you've got to make an effort. So if you have youngsters, I would say to you, look, try and bring them to these retreats. When they see other youngsters born and bred here who are kind of doing dars, you know, doing good and, you know, making their life better, it will inspire them as well. I'm going to move to my final segment. I've gone out of time, but it's going to be really quick. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the heart to Medina, it's love that carries for the beloved's sake.
So every week we leave you with something to do during the week which is going to help accelerate this cleansing of the heart and this journey to Medina. Last week, I think we mentioned Durood-e Pak. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, reciting Durood-e Pak is purification for you. This week I've got another one, a bit more practical. We all pray Salah. And a lot of the time, you know, the thoughts that come in and you get distracted. One very simple is to go to dawatislami.net, download Laws of Salah. Page, I think I had it open earlier. There is a section on Salah. Now, if you go to that section, you have namaz, all the Arabic, and the translation underneath. It will take you 7 to 10 minutes just to read through the translation. Read through it every day for the next 7 days, and you will remember the translation as you're praying your salah, and watch what difference it makes. It will change your whole perception. You will look forward to your salah, and it will help cleanse your heart. That is your action for the week. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. May Allah Ta'ala reward you all for joining us. Next week, we're going to carry on with these diseases of the heart. Don't miss them. I want to give you a summary, and then inshallah, more detail. And we'll have some more Muslim inventions for you, some more news from our youth team, and inshallah, azawajal, a new action or vazifa. Look after yourselves, protect your salah, read the Quran, and above all else, send as much through the park as you can on the blessed and beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This path is not distance, nor steps we take. It's love that carries for the beloved's sake. The journey of the heart to Madinah.